Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Philantrepreneur Show, hosted by Dr. Victoria Boyd and Pat Landecker, designed to offer tips, strategies, and insights to empower nonprofits and entrepreneurs with sustainable win-win solutions. The Philantrepreneur Show is sponsored by the Philantrepreneur Foundation, building capacity through education, awareness, and resources. We welcome your questions and input. To call in and join the show, please dial 347-945-7404.
Okay, here we are again on another bright and sunny Wednesday morning. Hello, this is Dr. Victoria Boyd, president, founder of the Philantrepreneur Foundation and editor of the Philantrepreneur Journal, and my co-host, Pat Landecker. She's one of our board members, and she is founder of Ruby Red Slipper Project and Synergy Coaching. Good morning, Pat. How are you today?
Good morning, Victoria. I am doing great. I want to know how you're doing because you have been doing yeoman's work on so many things that the Philantrepreneur has got going on, and, you know, you're just amazing. So how are you doing?
I am in recovery mode after our exceedingly wonderful nonprofit awareness expo, which happened about 2 weeks ago, and we're going to talk more about that today. It took me a few days just to come down out of my cloud nine and recoup my energy, but now I'm working on the next phase. And I mean, we got so many things going on. I was talking to someone yesterday that, you know, it seems like over the last 6 months that the Philantrepreneur Foundation is exponentially just sort of exploding, you know, just with the attention and the people that are coming our way. It's really exciting. So I guess that's what's really keeping me energized and moving forward, even though I might have a to-do list that goes from here to California, which sometimes it feels like. I'm just laughing at myself, you know, that I'm still here.
Well, you know, Victoria, first of all, are you sure that was 2 weeks ago? Because it still feels like it was like maybe yesterday. But, yeah, you know, it was such an exciting event. I mean, the resources that the Philantrepreneur and that you were able to organize for this event were just tremendous. I have to tell you, I mean, just thinking about our community panel, that had the quality of something that I would see on a TED Talk. I mean, that was just phenomenal. And I think so many people were taken by surprise that they were in the room just a few feet away from people that they would give anything to even be in the audience for, you know. So I think that was one of the aspects of it that really surprised people. And so, you know, it just exceeded the expectations in so many ways. And I'm just so proud of you and the organization and, you know, for being able to put that forth. And I think people really now, our next one in April, they've already seen the value, and I think the word is spreading.
Oh, absolutely. I've done a couple events since then, and people have actually walked up and said, "Oh, I was there. What a great value!" And I was like, "Oh, thank you." You know, you don't expect 2 or 3, actually, it's maybe 4 or 5 days after the event, you know, that someone will just come out of their way to tell you what a valuable event it was. Not just because they were there, could meet people, but the content that they walked away with. And even in our survey, people are talking about some of the content, you know, just the knowledge that they walked away with. Like you said, they weren't expecting it. It was a surprise. And that's a good thing and a bad thing, because maybe, you know, our marketing should have talked about that content. But, you know, lessons learned. But, I mean, we're going to move forward. It seems like the mixture of what we put together really, the people really appreciated that. And so, you know, it's just how can we duplicate that for our next one? And definitely that's going to be one of our focuses as we put together the next Nonprofit Awareness Expo, which will be April 27th, 2017. Yeah, you can put that on your calendar now. Panel. I mean, I was honored, you know, because I'm the type that I'm not afraid to ask. I just, hey, I think you'll be good on the panel, and I just ask. And I would say 85% of the people that I asked, some had conflicts with scheduling, but all of them that were available didn't hesitate. I mean, literally, returned the email within 24 to 48 hours and said, oh, yes, I'd love to do that. And so, I mean, that sort of speaks to not only what we were trying to accomplish in terms of the topic of the panel, which was building capacity, building community, but their understanding of the need for it in the community, which was, you know, just fantastic, just fantastic. So,
I have to say, I thought I knew a lot, but they taught this old girl some new tricks. And, you know, I mean, I sat there learning myself, even though I was there in a different capacity, but I was just in awe. And the little nuggets, golden nuggets of information that they gave us was just tremendous. I mean, you talk about capacity and the way that I think it was Todd who really, really explained the importance of that, of building that capacity and, everybody adding their little golden nugget to it. And it was just like, you know, I was looking around and you could see people going, wow, I never realized that, you know. And if people didn't understand what building capacity meant before the expo, they know now.
That's right. That is absolutely right. And, you know, and that's why I guess it was so important when we developed our mission statement, which is building capacity through education, awareness, and resources, that it be the foundation of how we develop some of our programs to support the nonprofit sector. Because as the panel explained, you know, that is almost your foundation of how you're going to succeed into the future. And they talked about sustainability and just so many. I mean, if we could reiterate and, you know, replay the whole panel discussion, we'd be on this show for the next 3 hours. But it was.
I know. But, one of the points that I thought was so important, I think it came from Todd, was that how the organization he's with, the Reynolds Foundation, that, you know, they don't even think about giving you a large grant until they know that you have the capacity to do what is necessary, and how they give money to an organization to first build that capacity, strengthen themselves from the inside so that they can then vie for those opportunities.
Absolutely. That should have, well, it hit home for us, but it should have hit home for many of the organizations out there, you know. And it was interesting to actually watch the audience. You know, at first, you know, you get ready and you sit down and you're going to listen to this panel discussion, and blah, 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 you know. But you could see their engagement or an attention by the way they shifted in their seats and started leaning in and listening and just really paying attention, which, you know, it was just exciting for me to watch how they became engaged in the conversation. Before I go any further, I need to give a real thank you to our sponsors that really came through for us. Of course, Sure Shot Web Design, led by Rob Cole. He was super instrumental in making the entire event happen. Sunset Station provided us with a lot of free AV and just the support that they gave us. Penrays came on, and they are now one of our partners, and everybody, I think we'll talk about them a little bit later, but Penrays is a new app. It's the latest cutting-edge trend in using technology to do fundraising, and I think everybody needs to pay attention to what's happening on that front. Classic Communications helped us with some promotions and got us out there, so thank you, Guy Dawson. The Gale Group, she was helping throughout the months just promoting, and then she came in and volunteered and did some work at the Expo for us. And then, of course, Linda Lysakowski has been a supporter of the Philanthropeneur Foundation from day one as a journal writer, and she was there as one of our presenters and just, you know, just helped us float along and do things, but helping us promote and reach her network of global followers that she has. So it was just exciting to have all of those that came on pre-event. But one thing that really just sort of floored me, CenturyLink heard about our event, and Jason Chan just walked in there and literally said, you know, I heard about this, and it was really interesting. I wanted to see what it was about. He looked around. He saw some of his friends. He had some conversations, and then afterwards walked up. He said, I want to give you this TV to give away, and offered us all of this stuff on the spot. I'm like, oh, my God, you know, somebody can just walk in and really see the value of what is happening at the moment. And he stepped up, and we had a raffle and gave away a television. And then he talked to the nonprofits and said how he would give them all free printing, which we're taking advantage of right now. So that, I guess that sort of gave me affirmation that what we were doing was on target when someone that I've never even communicated with before walks on site and just sees that they want to help. That, I mean, I was really honored with that also. You know, it was a real surprise. So that was a lot of things just happened over those 2 days.
Well, you know, and not just that with Jason. He told nonprofits to give him a call, and that he would – they had a volunteer base that nonprofits could tap into, that he would support them with their events. I mean, there was just – he offered so many resources that for a nonprofit, we all kind of sit around and think, you know, who do we ask? How do we get that? How do we even get in the door? I mean, not of a CenturyLink, no less. I mean, that was just like, wow. And, you know, he just – it was all that all day long. I mean, you had so many people – who now realize the value of the Philanthropeneur organization and what they're delivering, who just came up to you and said, hey, you know, we want to do this, we want to do that, we want to partner, we want to – it was just like that. I mean, the investment certainly paid off in that way, you know, and it was just – it was tremendous. And it was so funny with you because, you know, you were just – so busy running around doing everything, and you'd run over to me and you'd say, oh, my goodness, so-and-so just offered this. And it was – I loved it. It was just – it was so wonderful. That was just – from my vantage point, it was just a moving event, and it had let me know that, you know, that there are people out there that want to help nonprofits. It's just that we couldn't figure out how to tap into it. And this event really showed us how to do that and how to not be afraid to ask, you know, and go knock on that big door of United Way or, you know, whatever organization that you've been wanting to communicate with. And so it delivered on that for the – and, you know, the one thing I always look at when I have things is who's taking notes. And you're right. Everybody was kind of chill. And then all of a sudden, they were, like, trying to find their pen and a piece of paper, and they started writing notes after the first person spoke. They were like, wait a minute. Hold on. Where's my stuff, you know, because they realized they were getting ready to get some real value and hear some things that they needed to take away. There was so much takeaway. And that really added a tremendous amount of value to the event. So, good job.
Yeah, and plus any of our listeners, we're going to have all of the PowerPoint presentations. You know, with PowerPoints, you have to sort of decipher because you're not really hearing, you know, the live conversation. But all of them have offered their PowerPoints that anyone can access and see the gist of what they were talking about. And it will also have their contact information if people want to reach out. But what do you think about having not one – not two, but four Chamber of Commerce ribbon cuttings show up at the event.
Girl, look, I'll tell you what, that over there, there was just so much fanfare, and I think that was another aspect that people were so surprised, and then so many of the attendees got to be in that picture that was not going to be featured on that chamber site. But, I mean, Victoria, Las Vegas Metro Chamber, Henderson Chamber, Urban Chamber, Nevada Woman's Chamber, and they came with plaques and ribbons and this and that, and Penraise, who donated our step and repeat or our backdrop, which really added to the quality of the event. It just made it look like they were going to a Hollywood opening or something, and I thought that was so cool. And a couple of people mentioned that, like, you know, wow, that just really, you know, made you feel like you were going into something really special. And guess what? They did, and it was. It was just great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I mean, now it's looking at, okay, so how can we top this next year? And it's, maybe it's not about topping it, but making sure that we repeat it, that we give the same value, that we bring in the same quality of activities in the event. It might not be 2 days next year, but still we're going to try to have the elements that are really, I think, bringing value to the nonprofits. Yes, many of them have been out there for a long time and you know, have solid organizational volunteers and boards, but there's always ways to improve. I'm a true believer in continuous improvement and either getting affirmation that you are on the right path, but more important, what are the new trends and cutting-edge strategies that you need to be looking at to take your organization so you're not just sort of staying status quo, but you can continue to grow, that you will continue to serve the best you can in the era and the times that we are. Things change. And when I hear, you know, but we've always done it that way, I cringe. I said, but, you know, it's not about the way you've always been doing. Are you prepared for the future? So this is exciting to even think about what we can present. And so I'm going to throw out something to our listeners. If you have a concept or idea or even a topic that you think we should be covering in our next event, this time we had a great community panel with some leading community leaders on that panel. We'd like to replicate that. We had six presenters this year. We might not have that many next year, but hey, we're going to have some type of educational component and presentation. It will never flow into what I call the conference format. We'll always have the mixture of education, awareness, which is the expo part, and then resources. And those are the businesses and companies that provide valuable services that nonprofits need to run their systems and operations. It's just also in the feedback that we got from the survey, because I sent out a survey, what they really liked about it was that mixture. That's what they found to be refreshing, and I'm trying to think of some of the terms that, you know, unexpected, and that was one of the key points that they really felt was different about what we were doing. So I'm going to ride that wave and just say, for those that attended, it worked. And so, you know, for now, we're not going to try and change the wheel too much, but how can we improve upon that wheel so that it rolls even smoother? So that's really exciting. So let's take a quick commercial break right now, and we'll be right back in a second.
The Philanthropeneur Foundation. Build your capacity with our educational programs and professional services. Learn how to be a philanthropreneur. Maximize your social impact and maximize your revenue. Visit thephilanthropreneur.com or philanthropreneurfoundation.org to find services, resources, and training to launch, enhance, or improve your business or nonprofit strategy. While there, sign up to receive the Philanthropreneur Journal digital publication.
Okay, we're back. That was just a real quick break. So let's talk about some of the things we have coming up, like now.
Yeah, I mean, really.
We thought we could sort of rest for a minute. Not.
Not at all. I mean, you know, busy working on board-bound leadership,
which is
so key to nonprofits. Really key to anyone looking to get on a board. I mean, this is going to be getting on a board university because you're going to hear about everything that you need to know as you look to seek a seat on a board, all the questions you should be asking, how you should match yourself up with a board, as well as you're going to learn the internals of a board, you know, governance, assessment, leadership, fundraising. I mean, it's just if you're already on a board.
Yes, absolutely. I was going to say
there's
that.
There's resources for that, too. I mean, this is important for everybody who's interested in being on a board or who is board bound. Now, Victoria, what are some of the nuances of the event?
Well, it's a full day event, and that's why I want to stress that we're serious. It's almost like a deep dive intensive where Linda and I, and that's what we've been struggling with, because originally this was mapped out to be 16 hours, and then we were going to expand it over a 4 to 6 week course. But we're trying to, in this one day, really tap into those four essential areas that they need to know about and get them prepared to then think about, okay, so what will be our next steps after this? And I'm glad you mentioned that. It's also valuable for people who are already on boards, because what I have been finding, I've been out there sort of asking, you know, well, are you on a board? Yeah. I said, so when you got on that board, did you know what to do? No. I mean, and that's how I'm getting it, the answer, but no, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's unfortunate that I'm finding that there are a lot of people on boards that go and get on the board. I mean, they have the passion for the cause, which is wonderful. That is a key element that you must, you know, when assessing whether or not it's the right board for you, is do you have a passion for that cause? But most of them really don't know what to do once they get on the board. What is expected of them? What are their roles and responsibilities? So what we're going to do, in thinking of boards, roles, and responsibilities, we've broken it down, like it said, into four different categories. We're going to talk about leadership in the sector, how it's different. We're going to talk about governance, what it means to govern a nonprofit organization. We're then going to go into assessment, because you need to be able to understand that you need to assess internally and externally, because you have to have that information for two different audiences. But we're going to also explain what is assessment, what does it really mean, and then finally we're going to get into the question that everybody has, the whole fundraising thing. Will we be able to cover all of the topics in depth? No, but you're going to receive a complete overview of everything that you as a board member should be aware of. And then we're going to give you resources to go and do further investigation, exploration, research, to learn more. And we are going to offer follow-up courses after the first year, which we will announce. But this course we're going to present on a regular basis. Eventually, it will become a certification course where it will last 4 to 6 weeks. But this is what I call the foundation of what every board member should understand. So if you've been on a board for years and your organization is basically just surviving, come to Board Bound so you can help take them so they can thrive. And that's what you want. You want to look at, are you ready to be sustainable into the future? Are you doing things effectively and efficiently? You know, it's about working smarter, not harder. And I see so many organizations working so hard, putting on all these events, and they bring in $200 or $300 here or there. where they should be focusing on other things just because of the type of organization that they are. And we'll be talking about that. So if you're interested in board-bound leadership, you can register directly at www.BBLT, that's for Board-Bound Leadership Training, 1112, and that's for November 12th, 1112.eventbrite.com. The regular price, which is still a phenomenal price, is $149, and that covers the entire day training. You get continental breakfast and a lunch, plus a toolkit. Phenomenal deal. But if you're an organization that you can bring two to four board members or people in your organization to participate, we're giving capacity building awards. And all you have to do is submit an application. Real, real simple. Email me at vboyd@pcclv.org. And all of this is up on our website, too. But your name of your organization, your EIN number, I need a copy of your 501c3 determination letter. And then basically in one or two paragraphs, I do not want two or three pages, I just want one or two paragraphs of why you think this training would be valuable to your organization and why you need this capacity building award. If you're awarded it, you basically will get the registration waived except for the materials fee. Right now that's $49, but for those of you who submit this application by this Friday, I'm going to add an extra 25% off of that with a coupon code. You have to submit it before I give you the coupon code, though. But this is valuable, valuable, valuable training. I've been on a lot of boards, and probably you too, Pat. Okay? Mm-hmm. And the organization will plan their retreats. How much time and energy does that take? How much does the organization itself spend to map out those retreats? Have you done one of those before?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and it, you know, some of them spend what I would say is too much time, and some of them don't spend enough. Because, you know, that's
right.
Your opportunity to get in front of your board and express what their role is and, you know, all the different aspects, like you mentioned, of the assessment, governance, fundraising, talk about all that so you're not discussing it in the boardroom at the board meeting. Get everybody on the same page, oars in the water, go in the same direction. And so, you know, those are very important. But I've seen some that just turn out to be, you know, a meeting for lunch. And then I've seen others that go on and on and on. So what are your thoughts about it?
Well, really, I see organizations plan these retreats and they spend a lot of money, you know, getting this facility and, you know, going to the, you know,
yeah,
away and thing, and what I call investing in their own strategy, where if they would just send their board members to board-bound leadership training, we take over all of the logistics for them. This is a mini retreat in a box for them. And basically,
yeah,
they can, I'll call it, outsource their board training to the Philanthropeneur Foundation and not really have to worry about it internally. It's one thing that can check off their list and take off of their to-do list and let Philanthropeneur Foundation handle the training for their board. Yes, when it comes to doing their own organizational manuals and things, because each organization is different, yes, they'll have to do that and tweak that, but at least they know they have to have a manual. And
yeah,
so
exactly.
We are really, you know, taking something off of their plate that they won't have to do now, just planning the logistics, who's going to do it, how much does that consultant pay that you have to bring in? And generally, that's $2,000 to $3,000 to bring in a consultant for the day to lead a board training like that. So here
well,
it is.
Well, you know, Victoria, also that box you talk about, we can
mm-hmm.
bring that box to your corporate office. And
yes.
That's another thing that we've been looking at and be able to deliver that information there. You know, everybody hears it from the horse's mouth the same way, the same time, and convenience your employees, because I think one of the things today is that corporations do want their employees to be involved and to go get on boards, but they don't really know how to do that. You know, the CEO and the assistant CEO and all those people don't have a problem, but then they you know, mandate that their employees go out and try to do the same, but with no knowledge on how to do that. And a lot of the employees are already involved in organizations that have boards. You know, how do they connect from that volunteer position into being on a board? And that's all the kind of stuff you can learn at Board Bound Training as well.
Absolutely. And we even go into the difference between working in a for-profit environment and transitioning into the nonprofit world. There's different nuances. There's even different measurements for success that those on the executive side and in the for-profit world, yes, I'm sure they're wonderful executives and doing fantastic jobs on that side of it, but some of those skills or thought patterns or mindsets are not transferable into the nonprofit world. And so they need to know where to make those shifts so that what they're doing is applicable to helping the organization that they might be helping. So it's just almost everything from A to Z in a package.
Victoria, you said how much? Because I'm thinking, look, you and I, we've been to conferences for this exact thing, thousands of dollars.
Yes.
Over a period of days, and $149, and we're going to discount it. I don't know. Is there something wrong with us? Because I'm hearing so much value in it. So, you know, people need to understand that this is just an unbelievable opportunity, and the person that's training you is right there, can ask the questions. You're not in a room full of, you know, 200 people. You know, you and Linda are so good at delivering information one-on-one, answering questions. I mean, you've really broken it down because you have been on a lot of boards because you've been doing this organization and you hear from people. And so I just want people to understand that what they're going to get here, they're just not going to get somewhere else. I mean, you're going to do the nitty-gritty on this. And so
yes. And just know, and they need to know this too, that this $149 is not the permanent price. The reason it is so discounted right now because it started out at $997 for that 16-hour platform. But then Linda, because we're so analytical, sometimes we get in our own way, we felt that because we're sort of using these attendees this time to gather some information that we need. And so you're sort of coming in as a test pilot,
like we're
a test
kind of
program.
Doing a focus group for it, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. And so we're going to be asking them to do, you know, like a pre-assessment and a post-assessment, which is really helping us. And so that's why we cut the price so much, because we know the value of it, but we're asking our attendees to do a favor for us, and so we. As a favor to them, we cut the price. But no, this probably will be the last time that it's only $149. So that's probably not probably. That is why it's important. If you really want this information now, that you jump on it for this session. And it's next week in about nine days. Saturday, November 12th, we're going to be at the Henderson Business Resource Center, which is 112 South Water Street. That's right in downtown district of the Henderson, which is where their city hall, it's their Water Street is considered their main street. It's the Henderson Business Resource Center is inside the Wells Fargo building right there. You can't miss it. There's plenty of parking in the back, and we'll be there. You'll get, like I said, continental breakfast, lunch provided by the Emerald Island Casino, which I want to thank them for coming on as our sponsor. We are literally handing you everything you need in a package. You just have to show up. And I often talked about, you know, those people who are present, that believe in being present, are the ones that get all of the advantages. So that's Boardbound Leadership Training, Saturday, November 12th. You can find more about and read more about it at thephilanthropreneurfoundation.org/board-bound. And just talking about our website, I know I'm jumping all over the place here because I probably have too much to talk about. We're going to be launching a new website right after the first year. Did you know that?
Yes, exciting.
Well, I mean, once again, we've grown so much, and just the things that we have to offer. So we felt it's necessary to sort of restructure and lay out and bring to the forefront more of the resources, and so people don't have to search so hard to find all of these great things that we're going to have for them. And it's going to be much more interactive and engaging. And so it's exciting to, I'll say, clean up the website and pull off some things that I value, but nobody else does know.
Well, you know, I mean, the thing is that the resources you're going to put on there are just so valuable. And, you know, when you communicate with people, especially today, and especially with younger people, they give me the facts. You know, I don't need a whole lot of other stuff. I just need you to tell me X, Y, Z, and let me
I'm
go.
Learning it.
And the other thing is, too, is that we're going to be able to tell stories of the people that the philanthropreneur has already served, because that's always good when people read that they had the experience, whether it was going through your organization to get their 501c3 or, you know, seeing people talk about the events that they've been to with the organization. You know, that matters to people. That's a marketing tool. You know, people want to see the stuff in action. They want to hear testimonials. And so, you know, we'll be able to offer a lot of that type of stuff. And, you know, it's just really exciting to have a new website. I don't know how long the other one has been there, but, you know, even any nonprofit out there should think about a refresh. How long should a nonprofit hold the same website before they change it?
Well, according to the marketing people that I've recently talked to, you actually should review it at least once a year. That website, you asked, you know, it launched in the fall of 2014. And so we're coming up on our second year, and technically we should have refreshed last year, which is totally understandable, because if your website is a reflection of who you are as an organization, do you stay stagnant for 2 years? Generally not. And so as your organization evolves, your website should almost be a mirror of what's happening within your organization. And technically, to really pick up the, now I'm getting technical that I don't know about, the SEOs and the spiders, and to be picked up in the Google search engines, something should be happening on your website, whether it's a blog or pictures, images. Something should be added, changed every week or so. So that's why it's exciting, because we're going to have a gallery, a photo gallery or event gallery, or just images of things we do. I still write my blogs, and that will be up there. But things will be added to it. The radio show, you know, all of those YouTube connects, URLs that we have on the YouTube channel will be directly on there. So at least twice a month, that will be popping up on the website. So it's just going to take a transformation of pulling the services that we sort of have been offering all along, but bringing them to the forefront so that the community can really see what's been going on up to this point behind the scenes. We're going to put it up front and in their face.
Well, I hear a class on websites for nonprofits coming, because, you know, that just sounds like something we should be providing. And, you know, I'm always interested in, and I've heard various, you know, ideas about this, but what should be on that homepage? Because that's the first place people land. What should they be seeing? you know, how do you get them to go through the other pages? How many pages should you have? All that kind of stuff. And so, you know, I'm sure we'll be able to provide that kind of information as well. As we build our site, I think it'll be great to take people on the journey with us. And
Absolutely. When I get new clients, you know, because I talk about, you know, I help them go through the process of building out their first website and give them everything that where it should be positioned. Because you, a website, you think about just like a newspaper, even though newspapers are becoming passé or, you know, the layout, you still think in the same terms as when the newspaper people put their thing. Most newspapers are folded in half, and so anything what is called above fold is prominent. And so things like your donate button, your mission statement, and those programs or describing them, or even that's where some of your testimonials should all be above fold. It should be very graphic, and visual to get people to scroll down. Plus just the whole mobile industry. If your website is not mobile and tablet ready, you are a dinosaur. You just need to say, okay, no, we don't have a website. Because 80% of people look at websites on their phone now. I hate to say
yes,
it, but they do.
That's what I was going to mention. And young people, they won't even, like, as soon as they go on there on their phone, because that's where they live, and if they don't see that thing is mobile-ready, they will not even venture through your website. And so that is so important. And I liked what you were saying, too, about the newspaper. That's a great example of, you know, what you put when people come on that page. What are they going to see first? That will drive them somewhere else, you know. And I think, too, I'm a big fan of white space. When I go on a website and there's just too much, you know, I don't know if it's my age or my eyeballs, but sometimes I just can't handle it. You know, it's just too much stuff. And so I think that's an important factor, too. And it's hard to pick and choose what is the most important thing to occupy that space. Each space has a tremendous value. And so, you know,
and that's why, and that's why the slideshows have become so popular, because you can transfer out what you're saying in that space, you know, without occupying a lot of space. And so you're message is changing, it's engaging, people want to see what's coming next. You know, there's even a skill to how long that timing should be before it flips to the next picture. You know, it's almost like choreographing, and so I sort of was attracted to it when we talked about dancing through your website.
Oh, yes. Well, then we should see some well-choreographed stuff on this new website. Absolutely. No, I think that's just such an important point to bring up, and I think we should really consider, in addition to taking people on our journey with the website, but providing some kind of a class with one of our new great, not a partner yet, but friends, and who was at the expo, who could really help us with that and identify the use of your web pages. And you know, just one of the things that I mentioned a couple of minutes ago, just the page count. You know, I just noticed, I remember, oh, my God, my first website, it was a zillion pages. I mean, at least a zillion pages. And it was the resource center for those committed to success. Now, is that all over the place or what? And I mean, and I wanted to make sure I dotted every I, crossed every T, everything was on there. And I started getting comments from people. It was a great-looking website, but they were like, Pat, there's just so many pages. I don't even know how to, you know. And then I made the mistake of not really, you know, like today, of course, you would have some kind of a directory or something so I can just go where I need to go and stuff like that. But, yeah, so important, so different from back in the day, Victoria, when you and I were, you know, had a thing kind of carving it out of a tablet and, you know, all this.
we're not that old. We don't have the Moses tablet, but literally, hey, I remember when computers came into being, so I better be quiet. But that is actually reiterating what I said earlier. If you're not evolving with technology, with the times, with what's happening in the community, then you're becoming stagnant and you're really not relevant. And one of the key issues of reaching your community is being relevant for what they need, what they seek, and how they gather information. And that's vital. And it sort of is a great segue, because I wanted to talk about end of year fundraising, or just some fundraising that we have going on that it's really essential for us to give like board bound training for $149. Many people, and it was exciting. I got an email this morning from a big national trainer, and she was saying in her newsletter, think about having an unevent. I was like, oh, yeah, I got that covered. We have the unfundraiser. And the reason it sort of evolved. Okay, so we're supposed to be a nonprofit for nonprofits. And it's in my mind, it really felt counterintuitive to put on an event or a fundraiser like that, that would be in competition with other nonprofits out there trying to do the same thing. The fall, this time of year, this is event season. Everybody's giving their events, their galas, and all of these different things, their, you know, awards and all of that. So for us not to compete but to still remain in the supportive role, we're doing what is called the Philanthropreneur Foundation Unfundraiser. That means we're not asking you to come out and do anything for us, but we have the undo, you know, give us $25 because you don't have to do a thing. Give us $50. That's that $50 you would register to go do that marathon or that run, that 5K, 10K. Mm-hmm. Give us the unfund $50 because we're not asking you to run, walk, get a free T-shirt or anything. Just stay at home in your jammies and enjoy it. And then
you don't
we
need
have
another
the
T-shirt anyway.
You don't, right? And then we have the unteen, because you know when you do those marathons or those campaigns, you have to go out and get your families and your friends, your colleagues to join your team to be a part of this fundraising effort. So for $100, just send us the $100, and you don't have to get that team together. You're a part of our team. You join us. And then the big one is the ungala, because, you know, we spend and go out and buy those, you know, $200, $300, $400, $500 dress, the tuxedos, all of, you know, go and just going out to have the same old chicken dinner or whatever.
Same old chicken dinner.
And it's nice to meet everybody, you know, on occasion. But this time, just send us $250. Stay at home in your jammies again. Or, I mean, if you want to prance around the house in a ball gown, that's fine. But it saves us the overhead, and we can really take the funds directly and apply them to who needs them. And that's the nonprofits in the community. And then if you just are just so ecstatic with not having to do anything with our fundraiser, you pick the amount, put it in there, and just donate it to the Philanthropreneur Foundation. And believe me, your investment, this is an investment that you are making in the nonprofits in this community. You are helping the Philanthropreneur Foundation take them to the next level. And even though, you might donate to a favorite cause, you know, saving the animals or the homeless, the veterans, know that when you give to them, because some of those nonprofits come through our programs, that the money that you invest in those organizations will be spent effectively and efficiently on serving the cause that you have such a great passion for. So it's really an investment in the community when you invest in the Philanthropreneur Foundation. And you can find that once again on the philanthropreneurfoundation.org/unfundraiser. Real simple.
You know what I like another, the most about that, Victoria, real quick? You know, look, I can't even put my high heels on anymore. My dresses don't fit that well anymore. And so the sound of just being able to help and donate and especially help our communities and our nonprofits sounds so good. I can do it from my bed. And I think that that is just such a unique, I don't know who invented it, but it's such a unique approach. Because I think people do get the fact that, you know, they go to a lot of events. And every now and then, it's nice to have something unique like this where they can still serve the community and still say, hey, I helped so-and-so, and I didn't even have to get out of bed. I like that.
Yeah. They're having impact without doing anything on fundraising. So, yeah, this is a platform that we're going to, you know, yes, we're pushing it now because this is, you know, the time of year when everybody's trying to do their end of year giving, and especially Giving Tuesday is coming up. We're registered for that. You can do our fundraiser through on Giving Tuesday. So it's all of a part of our strategy to continue to support the nonprofits without being competitive. It's almost like a collaboration that their investment in us will help us provide services to the nonprofit sector. And another great avenue that is going to explode, well, shop.com, I don't know if anyone has heard of it. There's a lot of online shopping like Amazon Smile. But did you know, and I actually just found this out, And we're signed up for Amazon Smile, not to, you know, say anything. I'm glad that they have the program, but they give 2% or 0.2% of every dollar to a nonprofit. And I started doing the math, and I talked to Kathy Boyd, who is our shop.com's consultant, and you have to spend $10,000 in order for $50 to go to a nonprofit. And I'm like, what?
Really? Yeah.
Yes. In order for, through the Amazon Smile, you have to spend $10,000 for $50 to make its way to a nonprofit, your designated nonprofit. So that's why, I mean, I've started just really looking. And the three organizations that I'm really excited about are shop.com and the That's phenomenal because not only can you save on what you're purchasing, because they have some phenomenal products themselves that you can really save on your things you use every day, laundry detergent, you know, household items, this, everything. Anything you use, you can get it through shop.com. And then they have their own line where they're giving 50% to the nonprofit. But on top of that, every time you purchase, you're saving already. But you get cash back. The customer gets cash back in what is called a cash back account that when it builds up, you can spend it on anything. So it's almost just another value, which is so great. So what we're asking, once again, we're investing and trying to create benefits for our supporters. So we want you to go to shop.com/philanthropreneur and sign up as a preferred customer. And that's real easy because that way, from that point on, it automatically registers you or recognizes you as someone that's supporting us, and you don't have to do anything else. The donations, and you'll be helping us every time you shop for something in the house. Real quickly, one other one that's going to really explode here in the Las Vegas Valley is PenRaise. This is a phone app. It's so exciting. You know, they're now trying to bring businesses on. So if you're a brick-and-mortar business and you want people to come to you, even if you're an entrepreneur but you do business and have clients, you can sign up as a business with a heart. You get registered on this app, and anytime someone comes to you, it bings them because it's GPS, but it also lets them know. So, and if you purchase from it, it asks you, you know, this is a business with a heart. Who do you want your donation to go? And you just pick it. Of course you're going to pick the Philanthropeneur Foundation. But that is through an app on your phone. It's on Android and iPhones. So go and download the PenRaise app right now and select Philanthropeneur Foundation as your charity of choice. And then finally, real quickly, ZipHub. I'm actually on my way to a meeting with them right now. They are brand spanking new. They are a search engine just like Google, but they give back 10 to 20% to every nonprofit that is registered with them. I'm going to have more information about that. I told you I'm meeting with them today. I met with them last week. We're going over some final details today. But once again, Philanthropeneur, we are looking for what I call the cutting edge, the next generation of fundraising. And we have three of them in our arsenal right now that we're going to make available to all of our nonprofits so that they can get this passive income too. This is truly passive income. So
yes,
we're getting close to the end here.
It's like, look, Mom, no hands. And, you know, I just real quick, those are all things that kind of grew out of the Nonprofit Expo, opportunities that, you know, you were able to get and push forward to the member base and to all the nonprofits there. And John is just a great guy, as well as Kathy and ZipHub. I mean, I met all these people, and they're just so in your corner. So it's fantastic.
So we have talked a whole hour. Oh my God! But once again, we never even gave a phone number. Well, it was given out at front. But once again, remember we have a new format here that you can call in and ask questions anytime. If you're looking for any of the ideas and topics that we talked about today, please visit the philanthropeneurfoundation.org, and you can find it right there. Even though we're going to redo our website, it's everything's on our website right now. Any last words, Pat, before we take off?
No, just, you know, we got a lot of great things coming up. And like she said, check the website. You don't want to miss any of it. Training, events, this, that, and the other. Victoria, you are amazing. And you have delivered something I think that has so much value. And I know nonprofits really appreciate everything you do. So thank you.
Well, thank you, and thank you for joining us on the board. I mean, I can see big things happening in the coming months, and I'm just excited on the, as Kellen always says, you're on a trajectory. Let's ride it. And so, saying thank you for tuning in, and we will be back with you next time. And as I always say, are you a philanthropeneur?
Thank you for tuning in to the Philanthropeneur Radio Show, hosted by Dr. Victoria Boyd and Pat Landecker. Get involved. Follow us on Facebook and other social media outlets. If you wish to share comments or suggestions or appear as a guest on our show, visit www.philanthropeneurfoundation.org. To contact us, email support@pcclv.org. The Philanthropeneur Radio Show is a production of and sponsored by the Philanthropeneur Foundation, a 501c3 tax-deductible organization.